Yep, until Saturday.
Love Talk Radio.
Your radio is on.
Yeah, because everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. Unfortunately, our very own Pastor Kathy Dubose could not be with us this evening. So otherwise, she would be bringing the message. And since she's not going to unable to be here with us, then I will come with the word. Amen? So you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. And a Thanksgiving prayer is a prayer that allows people to thank God for what they are given by God. A prayer of thanksgiving addresses a number of factors, including people, objects, life, food, shelter, nature, health, or weather. In daily life, people thank others for holding open a door, a gift received, or a meal shared. According to the Case for Christ Study Bible, Psalms 100 describes this prayer, and it says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endureth forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. So at this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God, by Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
the sword. Thank you for your holy power. Thank you for your mighty sword. Thank you for giving me victory over anything I face. No battle is too tough for you to win. No addiction is too strong for you to break. No sin is too great for you to forgive. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your might. Thank you for the faithfulness you show as you fight against those who seek to bring down your people. You are the great and mighty sword, the one who is over all. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Lord, my heart and soul and mind, I pray to you. Worship the Lord with me, somebody. Forever we love you. Forever we live to worship you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus.
I live for you.
Might be in a place in your life where all you see is the color gray and the future looks dark and dreary. It's just like a dark cloud came over the earth and covered the land with fog. But there's one thing I want you to know. The Bible says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And it was good. Let me tell you about it.
There were many times in my life when I felt like I was all by myself and I needed an answer from the Lord. Many times when I had nobody to turn to but the Lord. So I decided to give him a try. I had to call on him,
call on him,
pleaded with the Lord to heal,
call on him,
down on my knees I called on him, hey,
call on him.
All of a sudden I heard a voice.
Going through
trials and tribulations and your heavy laden burden. Jesus said, cast your cares upon me and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You might feel like you're being tried, just trying to stand the test of time. But let me tell you one thing. The God I serve is able to do all things exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask and think, according to the power of his riches and glory that work in us. All you have to do is make Jesus Lord of your life. Come on, let's pray about it. All you gotta do is call on him.
Call on him.
Sometimes you gotta call on him. Hey!
Call on him.
Pleading, Lord, we'll hear your cry.
Call on him.
You gotta call him. And hear his voice speaking way deep down inside. He's saying,
your holy power. Thank you for your mighty sword. Thank you for giving me victory over anything I face. No battle is too tough for you to win. No addiction is too strong for you to break. No sin is too great for you to forgive. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your might. Thank you for your faithfulness you show as you fight against those who seek to bring down your people. You are the great and mighty sword, the one who is over all. Amen, amen, and amen. And now it is time for our devotional message, praise be to God, which is entitled, amen, praise God, here we go, which is entitled, You Can Achieve the Victorious Life. Praise be to God. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Psalms chapter 34, verses 17 through 18. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Amen. Praise be to God. And my second scripture reading is coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 in the New King James Version. And it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Praise be to God. Again, the title of this message is, "You Can Achieve the Victorious Life Through Living in Deep Dependency on Me." People usually associate victory with success, not falling or stumbling, not making mistakes. But those who are successful in their own strength tend to go their own way, forgetting about me. It is through problems and failures and neediness that you learn to rely on me. True dependency is not simply asking me to bless what you have decided to do. It is coming to me with an open mind and heart, inviting me to plant my desires within you. I may infuse within you a dream that seems far beyond your reach. You know that in yourself, you cannot achieve such a goal. Thus begins your journey of profound reliance on me. It is a faith walk, taking one step at a time, leaning on me as much as you need. This is not a path of continual success, but of multiple failures. However, each failure is followed by a growth spurt, nourished by increased reliance on me. Enjoy the blessedness of a victorious life through deepening your dependency on me. Amen. Praise be to God. I pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is unto me. Praise be to God. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another. Thankful Thursday and Sweet Hour of Prayer. We pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. So at this time, I will play another selection, In the Presence of His Grace, by R.D. Wiggins. Praise God.
I can't complain, no, I can't complain. Mama's taking it easy, Papa's gone on to paradise, smiling down on me. So many people just trying to make ends meet. hoping and praying. Just trying to live happy and free. Come Sunday morning, down on my knees, I'll be falling. And I'm gonna give the Lord his day and everything will be okay in the presence of his grace. A heated conversation, me and my baby, with sometimes debate. Life has but few guarantees. Sweet love and a good cup of coffee. Grown children don't seem to think life can slip away. No time to listen to what this old man has to say. Oh, you see the world. Everything will be okay in the presence of his grace. Come Sunday morning, down on my knees, I'll be falling. I'm gonna give the Lord his day, and everything will be okay in the presence of his grace. Oh yeah, in the presence of his grace. The presence of his grace.
Amen. Lord of the sword, may I find the peace that comes from trusting in this name. You have my back, and nothing can overcome me if I but trust in you. Therefore, I will delight in freedom and rest in you. I want to enter into the rest you promise to those who seek you. As I know your name, and as I believe in the abiding truth of who you are, rather than solving my own problems and righting my own wrongs, I will prevail. I appeal to you today to make your names alive in my mind. Cause me to remember them just as at the right time, so that I will live in the power of your great name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
Keeps my mind, the grace you've shown towards me. I just can't believe how you never turned away when I pushed you far away. You're the light that breathes through me. Now I've been set free. Follow me, I still can't believe how you never let me go, how you never lost your hope. You keep proving your love to me.
Tishbah, the Lord of hosts. 1 Samuel 17 and 45 says, David said to the Philistines, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Tishbah, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. Amen. Jehovah Tishbah, which means the Lord of hosts. Your name alone was able to give David the confidence to approach a trained warrior nearly twice his size. Because of the power of your name, David did not hesitate to approach his enemy and defeat him. I give you honor and praise and full admiration, for you are worthy of all glory. You have the power to defeat the greatest and largest of opponents because you are Jehovah Tishbah, the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Again, at this time, I will play another selection.
Together we fill up the basket with our tithes and offerings to give because we love and we want to be a part in the building of God's kingdom on earth. You can send your love gift offerings to House of Manessa Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468. For God loves a cheerful giver. In Hebrew, it is said, Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Sheheko Nihiya Bivaro Sheheko Bara Likvodo Shetamit Sukeh Bivetro Shekoko Melech HaOlam Beshem Uvedam Meshua Meshikenu. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings about everything by his word, who creates all for his glory, who always remembers his covenant, whose power fills the universe, in the name and blood of Jesus our Messiah. Amen.
In the dichotomy of man, my flesh cries out because my burdens get heavy and my mind seems confused. But my spirit answers back and says, don't worry, God is right there. He's never failed. He will fight every battle. I've learned to trust in the Lord.
Oh, midst of all of my trials, all of my tribulations, I learned to trust in Jesus. I trust in Jesus, he's my friend. I will trust in the Lord. Put your trust, put all your trust, put it in Jesus.
Which means the Lord of hosts. King Saul tried to weigh David down with hundreds of pounds of armor because the king looked at the size of the enemy and saw sudden death. The Israelite soldiers were so afraid, they refused to go out and face him themselves. It's easy to criticize them for not having the bravery of young David, but I admit I sometimes shrink back from a position that seems to loom large over me. Forgive my cowardness in the face of trouble, Jehovah Tishabah, for it is an affront to your power and sovereignty. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection.
Thank you. We worship you this morning, Lord. We declare together that it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. At the center of it all. Sing it. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the Jesus be the center and say, Jesus be the center of my life. Jesus be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you.
Amen. Praise be to God, everybody. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. At this time, I am going to play a selection. And after this selection, I will come back with a word from the Lord. Amen. To God be the glory.
I want you to open up your heart and let God's Spirit come in. Come on, say it. Pray.
Anointing fall on me. Praise be to God. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 12. Again, that's Acts, chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, amen, where it says, in my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instruction through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after his crucifixion, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John the Baptist baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the low ends of the earth. After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into the heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven. But someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. And verse 12 says, then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of half a mile. So may the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. So after 40 days with his disciples, Jesus returned to heaven. It was important for the disciples to see Jesus taken up into heaven. They knew without a doubt that he was God and that his home was in heaven. The two white-robed men were angels who proclaimed to the disciples that one day Jesus would return in the same way he had gone, bodily and visibly. History is not hazard or cynical. It is moving toward a specific point, the return of Jesus to judge and rule over the earth. We should be ready for his sudden return. 1 Thessalonians 5:2 tells us that, not by standing around staring into heaven, but by working hard to share the good news so that others will be able to share in God's great blessings. Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Our Father, you have given us all gifts, and we give to you this day the gift of ourselves. We thank you for life, for the strength to earn money, and for the motivation to return a portion of our money to you. Use these gifts in a way that brings glory to your name, strength to your cause, and power to your church. We give our lives to you, for you have given the greatest of all gifts to us, your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. For the next 9 Sunday evenings, you are invited to consider what the Holy Spirit accomplished through Simon Peter from the time of Jesus' ascension until Peter's death. Just before his ascension, Jesus gave his apostles this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:4-5 in the NIV Bible. After Jesus' ascension, about 120 of his followers went to an upper room in Jerusalem to wait as Jesus commanded. Amen. My text for this message is coming from Acts 1:8 in the RSV Bible. And it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit hath come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. Praise be to God. And my title for this message tonight is Preparation of Peter for Pentecost. Amen. In Acts 1, 1 through 5, the preparation of Jesus' disciples. Praise God. Jesus showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. The disciples had come from doubt to certainty about Jesus' resurrection. They had seen the risen Lord. Amen. Praise be to God. Jesus instructed his disciples. He spoke to them of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. In the four Gospels, we have a sample of his instructions. The sermons in Acts undoubtedly reflect Jesus teaching during the 40 days between his resurrection and ascension. During this period, Jesus reinterpreted their holy scriptures for them, for Cleopas and his companion, who did not know the meaning of the scripture about the Messiah's resurrection. Jesus, on the way from Jerusalem to Emmaus, explained, "O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. In Luke 24:25-27 in the RSV. Praise be to God. So let's turn to Luke 24. John. Luke 24, praise be to God. Luke 24:25-27. And again, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. In Luke 24:25 says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?' Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Amen. Praise be to God. So later that night, Jesus appeared to the startled disciples in Jerusalem. He showed them his hands and feet, and he ate a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb to assure them that he was no spirit or apparition. Then he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead. Luke 24:44-46 in the RSV Bible. Amen. So you could read it for yourself. Jesus gave them commandments. Thus it is written that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. 24:46-48 in the RSV. The account in John 20 is very instructive. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you. John 20:21 in the RSV. Praise be to God. Sometimes between his resurrection and ascension, Jesus met the disciples by appointment at a mountain in Galilee. The angel at the tomb had instructed the women, do not be amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go. Tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him as he told you in Mark 16:6-7 in the RSV. Praise God. Now this was probably the assembly of above 500 brethren, of whom Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:6. And it was probably to them that the Lord delivered the Great Commission. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. Matthew 28:16-20 in the RSV. So at the end of the 40 days after his resurrection and just before his ascension, Jesus led his disciples to Mount Olives. Instead of expressing interest in the coming of the Holy Spirit, who would lead them in witnessing to all nations, they asked, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Acts 1:6 in the RSV. Since 63 BC, Israel had been a province of Rome. It had achieved no real independence. since the captivity about 6 centuries earlier. The restoration of the kingdom was considered part of the sure mercies of David. Jesus replied, "It is not for you to know time or season, which the Father has fixed by his own authority," in verse 7 in the RSV. So there are some things we do not know or need to know. Times and seasons are with God. Amen. Praise be to God. The duty of disciples then as now was to bear witness as Jesus commanded. So our job is to bear witness of Jesus' good news, the good news of Jesus back then and now today. Praise be to God. Constancy, the duties of the disciples now was to bear witness as Jesus commanded. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Verse 8 in the RSV. In Acts 1, 9 through 12, the ascension. Jesus had accomplished on earth the work the Father had given him to do. It says in John 17, 4 through 5 in the NIV, "I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." Praise be to God. And Jesus had told his disciples in John 16 and 7 in the NIV, "It is for your good that I am going away." He would go away that he might be nearer. Incarnate as Jesus, he was confined to a human body as the Holy Spirit. He could return to dwell in all believers, not some believers, but all believers. And when he had said this, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud came out of their sight. Acts 1 and 9 in the RSV. Praise be to God. We are not to think that Jesus passed through infinite space. He passed from the atmosphere of the scene and the temporal to the atmosphere of the unseen and the eternal. He will be recognized by spiritual insight rather than by visual sight. We are not to think of Jesus as just out there somewhere. He is right here. Of course, he is out there and here at the same time. Did he not say in Matthew 28 and 18, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me"? And if we humans via television and the internet can watch other humans walk on the moon, surely the risen Lord can be in heaven and on earth at the same time. To God be the glory. In Acts 1:10 through 11, the promise of our Lord's return. He promised to return. While they were gazing, this is the disciples, they when Jesus was ascending into heaven, they were standing there gazing. So while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Hallelujah, Jesus. In verse 11, RSV, this Jesus is the same person whom they had known in the days of his flesh. How encouraging. He will come in the same way, gloriously, mysteriously, but not necessarily to the same spot, or to live in human flesh, or to reign at earthly Jerusalem. Times and seasons are in God's hands. But the words of Jesus, especially Matthew's 25:31, to the end of the chapter, seem to indicate that his second coming will end the gospel age. He is now present with believers in the person of the Holy Spirit, fulfilling his promises. Matthew 29 and 20 and John 14 and 28. Praise be to God. He is coming back. He is risen. So they were earnest in asking about that which their master never had directed or encouraged them to seek. Our Lord knew that his ascension and the teaching of the Holy Spirit would soon end these expectations, and therefore only gave them to a rebuke. But it is a caution to his church in all ages to take heed of a desire of forbidden knowledge. He had given his disciples instructions for the discharge of their duty, both before his death and since his resurrection. And this knowledge is enough for a Christian. It is enough that he has engaged to give believers strength equal to their trials and services, that under the influence of the Holy Spirit, they may, in one way or another, be witnesses for Christ on earth. While in heaven, he managed their concerns with perfect wisdom, truth, and love. When we stand gazing and trifling, the thoughts of our Master's second coming should quicken and awaken us. What a glorious day that will be. When we stand gazing and trembling, they should comfort and encourage us. May our expectations of it be steadfast and joyful, giving diligence to be found of him blameless. To God be the glory. And as I bring this message to a close, praise be to God. The disciples had been assured that Jesus was alive. Jesus opened their eyes to the truth of their scriptures so they could see the purpose for Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. He then commanded them to bear witness to his death and resurrection to all people. But first, he instructed them to go to an upper room in Jerusalem and wait. In Acts 1, 12 through 13. Why? Because Jesus had commanded in Luke 24:49 in the RSV, stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. They were not to witness in their own authority and power, but in the authority and power of the Holy Spirit. In a few days at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit would inaugurate the gospel age by pouring out his power on the waiting disciples. Let us also wait before God. Let us not run ahead or lag behind the Holy Spirit, for the task of the world evangelization is under his direction and by his power. I hope and pray that this message was a blessing unto you as it is to me, the preparation of Peter for Pentecost. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Lord, please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive. And here's my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And the next thing that you do is to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible-based church. Amen. To God be the glory. And my benediction is coming from Jude 24 and 25, where it says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And let us all say amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you till we meet again tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. when I'll come with our sweet hour of prayer. And at 7 p.m. I will be bringing the word from the Lord. Amen. So God bless you, and I want to thank my caller. God bless you, and thank you for tuning in to Pray One for Another. We love you, and we thank you to all of our listeners on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Blog Talk Radio. Again, we love you, we thank you, and Happy New Year to each and every one of you. A healthy, a prosperous, and a good year. Amen. And don't forget, always pray and love one another as God has loved you. Good night, everyone. And on that note, I will play a selection. Rise. King.
Right now, prodigal sons and daughters out there that would like to be rededicated. Let us pray. God, I am sorry for my sins. I am sorry that I have strayed from you. I ask you for your forgiveness. I repent for my sins. I don't want to live like a prodigal son any longer, or a prodigal daughter. Renew, revive me. As I once again follow you, I thank you, Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 104.